I'm Carla Rae Thompson, and this is Unsolicited Opinion, Food for Thought Fueled by Facts, where I talk about navigating the world of notoriety and what's popping off in pop culture, sports, and entertainment. Now let me run my mouth and talk my ish as I give my take on some of the takeaways from this legendary season of women's college basketball. So it's the dawn of a new day in women's college basketball. Goated coach, Coach Dawn Staley, and the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks crushed the hoop dreams of Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they did so in dramatic fashion. Thanks in large part to fierce freshmen Tessa Johnson and Malaysia Fuwali, senior and now Chicago Sky player Camila Cardoza, and revenge tour headliner Raven Johnson. In other words, the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks won the national championship. Coach Dawn and the Gamecocks amassed 109 wins and only 3 losses over the past 3 seasons, and this is Dawn and the Gamecocks' 3rd national championship. And they did it all in front of a record-setting television viewing audience of over 18.8 million people. More people watched the women's college basketball finals than the men's college basketball finals, and hey, in fact, than many other finals. So I guess you're saying right about now, what about Caitlin? So what about her? And no, I'm not a hater. Unlike the national media, podcasters, and pundits, I'd like to give praise to the winners first. And maybe this is because I don't believe in participation trophies in competitive sports at the highest level. I'm not getting involved in that whole GOAT conversation because I thought being a GOAT, greatest of all time, was or is one of one. Greatest of all time. Not greatest of this time, this season, this hour. Not one of the greatest. Using this yardstick, it remains to be seen if Caitlin is truly the GOAT. Only time will tell, especially now that USC's Juju Watkins has a good shot at eclipsing her records in record time. And if she, Juju, eclipses Caitlin's records and wins a natty, it would be a wrap for Caitlin and the whole GOAT conversation. I said what I said. Argue with your mama and not with me. What can't be argued is Caitlin's effect on the sport, both positively and negatively. Yes, there are some negative unintended consequences attached to the hype. There are 2 things that Caitlin does rather well. Shoot threes, of course, and draw seemingly unintended controversy. She never starts the fire, but she is slow to put it out, if at all. When LSU's Angel Reese, and now a member of the Chicago Sky, gave Caitlin the "Can you see me" sign gesture during the 2023 finals, the same gesture that Caitlin displayed towards another player in another game, Angel was characterized, called a villain, among other things, and Caitlin was painted as the victim. The controversy benefited Caitlin far more than Angel, as she, Angel, stated that she never got a moment of peace since her natty win in 2023. To this day, people find a way to talk trash about Angel even when she's not the topic of conversation. People, fans, and stands tuned into the March Madness Elite Eight rematch between LSU and Iowa in record numbers to see if Princess C could take the crown from Angel and LSU. And when Princess C, Caitlin, thanks to incompetent coaching from LSU's Kim Mulkey, emerged victorious, it was her fans' na-na-na-na-boo-boo moment. I'll get to Caitlin's tiresome fans later. And now, as Caitlin enters the WNBA as a member of the Indiana Fever, a league she is supposed to save, in one fell swoosh, controversy has been created, this time replacing race with age. This time, it's not the mean, ghetto, ratchet, classless black girl Angel, but the old, nobody, ungrateful WNBA vet, Diana Taurasi, who's being accused of being mean to the basketball princess and is being widely disrespected by those new viewers not acquainted with her numerous accomplishments. How dare DT not revere Caitlin? They, the stand-em, say be grateful that she, Caitlin, will grace the WNBA hard court to lift the league from the abyss and give them relevancy. Look, Ausis was saying is that the W is a pro league and that there may be, will be, a need for some adjustment, and that rookies, all rookies, including Caitlin, probably won't hit the ground running. DT was doing fans and incoming rookies, including Caitlin, a favor by tempering expectations. Already the powers that be in the W and those affiliated with it are marketing their first meetup, that's DT and C's meetup, positioning them as the rookie versus the GOAT. I must say it's a bit of marketing genius. Can we talk about Caitlin's caustic fan base? I will do this at the risk of being called a racist or playing the race card, if I haven't been called these things already. To understand her newly minted rabbit fan base, you have to understand one thing. Representation matters. Hold that thought. Who is Caitlin's fan base? Another group is the basketball fandom, many of them men, and many of whom are actually black men, who appreciate Caitlin as a baller and as a hooper. Well, you have the Iowa fans, the folks who have followed the hometown girl from the beginning. There are also a smaller group of women, primarily black women. I wouldn't necessarily call them fans, but maybe so more so admirers, who respect Caitlin as a baller, as a hooper, but are somewhat turned off by the Caitlin versus Angel discourse. Some of them are longtime women's college basketball and WNBA viewers, and they're not new to the game, but they're true to the game. They don't hate Caitlin. They respect her hustle, but they are not here for the hype. And what about white women, you may ask, or not? There are some that are longtime viewers of the WNBA, like their black counterparts, and also fans of women's college basketball and follow that. There's also another group that seem to have gotten on board after or maybe during the finals, and they are invested because of the DTCC, you know, discourse. They look at it through a more feminist lens and really chastising DT for not supporting CC. So really they're identifying with Caitlin more in her loss than in her victories. Once again, it sort of plays into the Caitlin as victim trope. And there are the white male fans. CC's most toxic stan base. New to women's college basketball, they think of Caitlin as the second coming. They think of her as the great white hope. Here's where representation matters comes in. And if you don't believe me about the whole representation matters matter, let me read to you a comment I found on TikTok recently. I want to watch someone that looks like me. I now agree with what black people have been saying for years. Look, for so many years, white males, mainly older ones, have never seen themselves at the top of the basketball game. The fact that they compare the faux friction rivalry between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark to Larry Bird and Magic Johnson is kind of telling. It's very old school. And they also compare Caitlin's style of play to that of Steph Curry, a black player, and that's really telling as well, because there's no modern day white comparisons to Caitlin's style of play. They, these white dudes, I say dudes, maybe bros would be a better word, have been told that white men can't jump, that they aren't as good as their black counterparts, and they believed it. And now they see someone who didn't buy the BS and someone who fearlessly goes up against black players and, quote unquote, maybe beats them at their own game, so to speak. And as a result, the white dude stand-em went bananas, losing their minds, bullying, harassing people in the comment sections. Nana, nana, boo, boo, white girl beat you. Caitlin is a proxy for all white males who dreamed of hooping at the highest level. Hey, hold up, I see you. You say, what about Luca and the Joker? Well, yes, they didn't buy the BS either, but they are not American. Remember, representation matters. That's why they are deemed somewhat unmarketable by the powers that be. No mega shoe deals for Luka and MVP Joker. Caitlin, who is yet to prove herself to be a capable basketball professional, has copped an 8-figure deal with Nike, which will include a signature shoe. And this is because CeCe is considered extremely marketable, and they are marketing the hell out of her. Like Auntie Coach Dawn Staley has said, favor isn't fair. God bless Caitlin, whose commodification seems complete. For every winner like South Carolina is, and Caitlin Clark is marketed to be, there is also a loser. And who is the biggest loser of last season, this past season? That's LSU coach Kim Mulkey, messy Kim Mulkey, who seems to have royally messed up her chance at chasing another natty, messed up Haley Van Lith's career, messed up LSU having any chance of getting the kind of recruits that can take a program to new heights, the kind of recruits that Dawn and UConn's Geno can get with little to no effort, because players and their parents know that those two legends are not just about recruitment, but player development. How did Messy Mulkey get into this mess? Well, first, we have the Washington Post article. Washington Post was teasing a hit piece filled with hot tea. But when it was published, that tea was tepid at best. But before the article was published, Kim, Messy Mulkey, came out swinging, saying that she was going to get the best lawyers to bop them on the head if they dared say anything untruthful about her. That didn't go over well. And before that, there was the press conference that took place after the Mouse in the Palace College Edition, where she, Kim, basically wanted Angel to knock and buck Camila Cardoza. I guess this was an effort to protect, to stand 10 toes down for her apparent favorite, Flage. Okay. Oh, messy, messy, messy Kim. I bet you're feeling a little foolish now that the two rivals, Camila and Angel, are on the same WNBA team, getting ready to take on the league, and here you are. You remain on team, doing too much. Oh God, Kim really got crunk, really got besides herself about that infamous LA Times article, which called her players dirty debutantes and UCLA players milk and cookies. And yes, Kim did speak out about it during a press conference, to her credit, but she only ranted about the apparent sexism in the article when the article was both sexist and racist. It took Haley Van Lith to point out the article's racially tinged undertones. And speaking of Haley Van Lith, another one of Messy Mulkey's mishaps, the five blind boys from Alabama, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, could see that Haley was not cut out to guard Caitlin in the Elite 8 game. But she, Messy Mulkey, kept her in the game, even when she, Messy, knew that she, Haley, was fighting not only Caitlin, but a cold as well. Both battles proved too much for Haley. Messy Mulkey kept the mess going at the post-game presser when she, Messy Mulkey, was asked about what Flage and Haley said in defense of teammate Angel, acknowledging what she, Angel, had been through since the championship, and also what Angel herself had expressed about its challenges. This heifer over here, there, Messy Mulkey, mumbled something that sounded like social media stuff, and she was not on social media, so she doesn't know what they were talking about, though they were sitting next to her when they were saying it. Are you kidding me? Not only are you, Messy, dumb, are you deaf and blind too? But wait, there's more. Messy Mulkey also remained silent as Haley Van Lith got cooked in the comments section after the LSU-Iowa game. Fortunately, viewers came to the realization that The fault for the mishap clearly rested on Messy Mulkey's shoulders. But it was too late for Haley, who realized the damage had already been done and decided to enter the transfer portal. The last straw for me, and probably for a lot of LSU fans, was Messy's response to Haley entering the portal. She basically told her, go where you can grow, because we ain't got nothing for you here. This is after Messy Mulkey lured her to LSU in the first place. Messy Mulkey cooked her own coaching career with that comment alone. Well, enough about this year's Biggest Loser. Who's the biggest winner? Us, the fans. We've got to watch great college basketball. Not great women's college basketball, great college basketball. We got to know some great players on a first-name basis. In addition to the marquee names such as Paige, Angel, Cameron, Camilla, and Caitlin, we also got to know players like Audie, Hannah, Juju, Flage, Bree, Raven, Malaysia, and Tessa. And guess what? Guess what's the cool part? We get to see them, those new names, do their big one in a big way next season. But in the meantime, let's follow the journey of some of our faves as they embark on their professional career in the WNBA. FYI, the new season begins on May 14th. God, I love this game. Well, that's it from me for now. This is Carla Rae Thompson, and that was Unsolicited Opinion, Food for Thought, Fueled by Facts.